Welcome back to the Weekly Roast. How's it going, guys?
How are you?
How are your hearts? And of course, how are your heads? Michael, Miguel.
Ah, very good. Hi, Mark. How are you?
That's the Spanish version of Michael. So,
bilingual.
Looking forward to doing our show in Singapore next year.
Ah, yes. Okay.
When I can call you. Nope, not going to do the voice.
You're not going to do the voice.
Until I'm in Singapore. Can't get away with
it. You're definitely not going to do it.
I think you can do it if you're in Singapore. I can give you a Chinese name in Singapore. Oh, you should talk about the Japanese stronghold in Singapore and how they've slowly but surely receded their political grip. We're not going to get into that now. Oh, Mark, tell us something really smarmy and hilarious about watching the McGregor fight. No, I've no interest, ever. The only way to... The only way to eliminate these people, these vermin like him from our society, is to ignore them. Starve them of the attention they crave. There's no redemption arc. There's no arc in general. Ignore, move on, and let them recede into the cultural, political, moral, existential wilderness. That's the only way to deal with it. So no, I didn't watch it. I didn't relish in the loss. I didn't think that getting knocked out in a fucking fight is just desserts. Not even close, okay? Not even close. That doesn't level the... Well, we're bloody even now. Do you know what I mean? Morality. Look, we're not getting into it. I'm over
indeed.
In Spain and I have to listen to Brits by the pool talking about, Jude. Jude.
I feel bad for you. I actually do feel bad for you.
There is truly, and I know we do have quite a lot of British listeners at the moment, so you guys are very welcome. And of course, I'm happy for you to be here and, you know, capitalize on the fandom in any way that I can. But the British football fans, truly the worst.
It would be the worst part. Like, the only bad part of them winning the World Cup would just be the fans.
It'd be the next 60 years. The way that they still talk about 66, it's just, they are fucking insufferable. Nevertheless, I'm in Spain.
Are you having fun?
I'm loving it. I mean, it's a different trip when you're bringing away an 8 month old. I think myself and Darren sort of fell into that trap of going like, look, we're still very, very cool individuals. We will be able to, you know, it's going to be Ocean Club. I'm going to be slopping around like a Love Island extra. It's going to be a really magic. You know you're having dinner too early when the person next to you orders smashed avocado on toast. Do you know what I mean? when you're out for dinner with your eight month old baby and the person at the table next to you is like, excuse me, this actually isn't a flat white. Do you know what I mean? That's when you're out far too early.
Gym gear on from the morning run.
This is it. The whole routine of, I think resistance is futile as a new parent. You just have to accept that you're not in the driver's seat at this point in time. Do you know what I mean? It's like Rosie dictates how things go, what time we eat, what time we do everything. So look, we're having an absolutely fabulous time, but it is just about learning, like adapting, basically.
Yes, I can only imagine. Are you starting to feel like you have things down though? Like, does a confidence ever develop?
There's a brief moment of, you know what they say about happiness? They say that whenever, there's a very brief window whenever you finally get what you want in life that lasts only for a moment or two, and that thing is called happiness. But then instantly you want more happiness, right?
Sure.
So like, you know, if you've been pushing for a job for like 5 years and then you finally get that job, there'd be like a quick, real momentary burst of joy and, oh my God, I'm happy. And then almost instantly, like clockwork, the human mind will go, but what about the job beyond that, right? So like, what about the next thing? So you think that, they say statistically, anybody, if you ask somebody in the street what figure of money they would like to be earning in a year in order to be comfortable, apparently something like 89% of people will just take their own salary and then double it. So if someone's earning 25K a year, they will think that 50K a year is what they would need, and 50K a year will, you know, they'd want 100K and all the rest. Apparently that's just the way that we're wired. So in that sense of happiness, I feel like with having a baby, there's like a very quick moment. I had this last week when we were coming away. I was like, right, Rosie is 8 months. We're finally sort of stepping out of the mist now. Things are like easier to navigate. I've sort of got, we've got things under control. We can plan our lives around. We've got it. and then literally arrive to Spain and all bets are off and the sleeping arrangement, everything's just, every change, you know, every beautiful and wonderful and amazing change, be it like teeth, different groans, getting to understand what the different groans, moans and all these things mean and blah, blah, blah. All of these new beautiful changes come with challenges as well. So in short, no, there are glimpses of having your shit together. Sure. And then something else happens and you're like, good stuff, I am completely and utterly incapable. But we just keep going and it's magic. And I've said I'm going to give it a shot anyway for at least another 6 months. the marriage and fatherhood.
Stop that.
If I get bored by then, it's back in the booze for 6 weeks and then book number two, let's go.
Okay.
Let's go.
Very good.
This is not a self-help book too, but it might help me.
You're walk back to the octagon.
Do you know what I mean? This is the comeback of the century. Just when you thought he couldn't get any more comebacky, shut the hell up. It's not related. That's like, do you know what I mean? Fucking Jeffrey Dahmer learning, getting grade 11 in the piano. It's not related to the murders. That doesn't absolve you. Do you know what I mean? Oh, Patrick John Wayne Gacy joined Fawcett Circus on a 6 month job bridge program.
It was a fine juggler.
27 children. Do you know what I mean? One doesn't cancel out the other. Oh, Megan's written a book number three. Stop fucking drinking, bro. Do you know what I mean? you can't just concoct an excuse for other wrongdoing to say, there you go. You know what I mean? That gets rid of that. No, that's not the way that it works. They're calling it. Who's calling it that? Who's calling it the greatest comeback of this? This is not a comeback. This is like whenever Coco Pops changed their name to Choco Krispies for a fortnight, but because there was a national British boycott, they quickly reverted back. Do you remember that?
I do.
In the mid-90s, they were like, okay, kids. Coco came out and was like, okay, kids, today we're changing our name from Coco Pops to We'd Rather Have a Bowl of Choco Krispies. After about 2 weeks, nobody was buying the bowls. And they were like, Grant, back to Coco Pops. Similar happened to Opal Fruits. They changed. Nope, they're still Starburst.
Oh.
So, not the comeback of the century. Okay. No. They're calling this the comeback of the century. Look at me bash this fucker's head in just to show you how good I am. I feel like this morality guideline handbook that you've been passed isn't exactly. Nevertheless, you're very welcome back to the Weekly Roast live from España. As I sit here having Spanish tea and toast.
Yeah.
We'll say the heat's getting to him. Joking aside, I was actually going out to try and take a selfie on the balcony just before we started recording, and I hit my head off one of the low-hanging Spanish cement ceiling wall, and I had to message Darren on WhatsApp, and I was like, just to let you know, I've just clattered my head so hard. If in 20 minutes you get on to me and I'm speaking gibberish, it means that I'm concussed. Bring me to the hospital.
Okay.
So she's got that to contend with.
We'll keep an eye out.
We will. Michael, it's the roast of Incidents of Mass.
It is indeed. It's a cracker.
It's an absolute cracker. I'm sad not to be at home with you in the studio, Mr. E. Miguel, but I think it's a beautiful thing to be keeping the show on the road. And by the way, I got some unbelievable messages from people after me teasing the fact that we're going to be going offline for 6 weeks.
Really?
Oh, man. People said,
what sort of feedback?
Oh, just like, oh, you don't need a sidekick, just by yourself would be enough, you know, you're human. Your jokes are the things that carry us, you don't need a 33-year-old cheerleader in the room with you, do you know what I mean? At the end of the day, perhaps a female presence would be needed, do you know what I mean? So, listen, there's a message from Darren, are you all right? I've just written back with 6 months and an egg timer. Anyway, no, just messages from people be like, oh, I never knew how big a role the podcast played in my day-to-day well-being, but until you said that you were not going to be doing it for 6 weeks. One person said she actually burst out crying. So it's not nice. It's nice to have that power over people's emotions, because at the end of the day, that's why we're in this game. Nevertheless, it's the roast of Incidents of Mass. Michael, I'm just going to get straight into it.
Okay.
Well, actually, do you know what? In a much more real sense, I'm going to start the music now, because I think we could do with a little break, because I can't find the screenshots on my phone. But that's okay, because we're in Spain. You get away with being a... they're calling it the comeback of the century. I can do 16 donuts in a 1994 Vectra. Yeah, but you grabbed a pensioner by the throat at Liston Farna. You threw her off the cliffs of Moher. Like, what the hell? This doesn't cancel out the other. Do you know what I mean? It's completely insane. Okay, Michael, first things first. I think it's time we have a very serious conversation about the state of snacking in this country. It's embarrassing. However, Cadbury have finally decided to cater to those of us with actual taste buds. For those of us brave enough to ask, no, do you know what? To demand more from their treats. They've launched the new Cadbury Dairy Milk Biscoff Bar. It's the collab of the century. The smooth expertise of Cadbury meets the main character energy of Biscoff. It's got that crunch, that caramelised vibe, and honestly, it's Ireland's new icon. It's love at first bite. And unlike your last three situationships, this one is actually here to stay. Grab one, try it, and stop settling for mid-tier snacks. We just have to, I'm going to read out a couple of beauties, a couple of corkers, okay? I want to get your opinion on this one. Priest has his dog on the altar for every single mass, often refers to him during mass.
What? Is it a guide dog?
I don't think so. Definitely not.
Shep, sit down there.
I mean, in a way it's lovely, but as a huge dog fan, I think it's lovely. But I'm really not a fan of dog people sort of imposing their dog love on other members of society. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not on me to decide that Bertie, you know, whenever I'm out with my dog, for instance, and somebody else's dog is off the lead, and that causes chaos with my dog, and he comes over, I have to stop my walk, I have to take my AirPods out, I have to try and then wrestle Bertie away from their dog, and they go, don't mind, he's just friendly. Cool, I'm not friendly. I'm really difficult and a contrarian who's trying to make a living off being a poor man cynic. Do you know what I mean? So like, I am not friendly. Like, leave your dog being off the lead is interrupting my walk. I really... he doesn't... No, but you don't know anything about my dog. You don't know anything about me. You also don't know why we're gone out for this walk.
Mm.
I could have just gotten really bad news. Do you know what I mean? So, like, I'm not a fan of people's dogs imposing on other people's dogs. And sort of St. Paul to the canine Inthians.
Ah, very good.
Not great, is it?
No, that one's good. I enjoyed it.
It's not the best. That is a holiday gag. You get away with it by the pool. You don't get away with that with the season listeners. So let's keep going. Nevertheless, woman outed the altar server for an affair during the creed.
What?
Two other people came back to me about this story and said that they were leaving their parish Sunday mass. And this is in Ireland, by the way.
Yeah.
And one woman had sellotaped A4 pages to every car in the car park with blank Mac blank is having an affair with blank.
Fuck off.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Jesus Christ. Well, like, look, that's the way to do it. Let's be honest.
Is that the way to do it?
I mean, like, I just mean scorched earth. Like, rather than, you know, doing things quietly and having, like, just hanging them out to dry.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if somebody has had an affair and the scorned, would that be the word? But the person who's been affected by it, they get to decide. It's up to them to decide the next steps. Do you know what I mean?
Totally, completely. They need to tell you,
do you want to hear a true story?
Go on.
This is, and it's not funny, by the way.
Okay.
But I'm going to tell it on a comedy podcast for comedic effect. I was out for a family walk with my relatives about 3 years ago. Somewhere in Wicklow, okay?
Right.
Not going to reveal where. And as we were walking along, there was walking in this place, there was a sort of hut beside the beach wherein there was loads of graffiti.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And just like loads of graffiti, different types, loads of tags. Yeah, just using the graph language, whatever. Like loads of decent painters, like obviously been down there, head into All City, fill up an old JP, got a few. Anyway, there was loads of things. And then there was one just permanent marker, and it just said, Eamon blank has no bollocks, right?
Ah.
And I just said to my uncle, I go, haha, there you are. I go, isn't your best mate Eamon? Because his best mate is Eamon.
Okay.
My uncle looked at me and he went white. He goes, that's fucking mental. Eamon is my best mate, but he also doesn't. He had surgery to remove his bollocks.
Okay.
So this was somebody, he was a slighted customer. I had basically unearthed a crime.
Oh, so it was actually, it wasn't.
So it was aimed at him and his lack of bollocks. It was a legit bollocksless attack. By the way, find the person in that story with any bollocks and I'll tell you who. It's the coward not confronting him. Do you know what I mean? That's the person with no bollocks. But yeah.
Ballsy move.
Wow. So Jimmy Floyd Hassel, thanks for that one.
Ah, very good.
Completely irrelevant. Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, very much, whether he is bollocks or no bollocks, I don't know. Just a 90s midfielder from Chelsea. Hasselbank! Okay. Hasselbank's a great one as a commentator. Hasselbank!
Hasselbank.
Bellingham, shut up, our Jews. Okay, we're nearly done, right? But this is the greatest one that we've ever... This is potentially the greatest submission to the podcast we have ever had. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Live from Spain. I really need to let Rose in there and out of the attic. It's fucking roast. Hold on,
stop
one second.
It. Stop
no,
it.
No, it's grand. It's grand. this happened. I left one of those little fans that you get at the Spanish markets. You know, the ones that annoying kids get.
Annoying kids, unnaturally.
They are annoying, though. This happened to one of my friends when he was 4 or 5. He was at mass with his family, waited until the church was completely silent, then really loudly said, Mammy, why is my willy gone?
Yes.
To be fair, by the way, and this is, as a man, I can attest to this, the church boner, it is a very, very common phenomenon.
It was, for me, it was churches and buses. Those were the two.
Yeah. By the way, how is the court case with CIE going in the end?
Stop that, Mark.
That's why you're not allowed to get the red dog to Air Square anymore. Mystery Dick, they used to call you. Oh, yeah. But I lost loads of weight for the wedding. You're a pervert. That doesn't cancel it out. You can't say they're going to let them come back in the century. Yeah, you came on someone's back. That's the problem. It's the come on the back of the pensioner, not the comeback of the century we're concerned with. Do you know what I mean? Oh, but I lost loads of chub. Stop. No, it's not. You didn't lose loads of chub. You grew a little chub when you're on the bus to Air Square. Coming through Oranmore, where, incidentally, I played the greatest game of golf of my life, would you believe?
Really?
I was seeing a gal then from Galway. She used to work in Electric, the nightclub, back in the day. And I went down to stay with her one time. It was back in my drinking days. Horrific story. Did I say gays there?
Freudian slip.
Nope, not a Freudian slip.
No, just go on.
Although somebody did write in yesterday about the fucking mass thing, saying that like their local priest got caught using glory holes, and then they followed up with another message saying, and it was a gay glory hole. I'm going, what's the difference? Genuinely, I feel like if you're in this stage of using glory holes, you can't be picky about what's on the other side. No. Do you know what I mean? You've got to just take the luscious heat and moisture of whatever lays beyond the bricks that you're sloshing your dick through, because you know what I mean? You don't get to use a glory hole and then go, well, my type would be a blonde. It's irrelevant. You're thrusting against a 17-foot brick wall, or you know, the bathroom stall of an Easton's on Jervis Street. You can't be picky at this point. You've located this glory hole because it was written in ballpoint pen on the back of a nightclub jacks. Do you know what I mean? You can't now be like, oh, I hope he's tall. It doesn't matter if he's tall. It doesn't matter if it's a mouth, bum, ear, or orifice otherwise. It is completely irrelevant. I think it's time we have a very serious conversation about the state of snacking in this country. It's embarrassing. However, Cadbury have finally decided to cater to those of us with actual taste buds. For those of us brave enough to ask, no, do you know what? To demand more from their treats. They've launched the new Cadbury Dairy Milk Biscoff Bar. It's the collab of the century. The smooth expertise of Cadbury meets the main character energy of Biscoff. It's got that crunch, that caramelized vibe, and honestly, it's Ireland's new icon. It's love at first bite. And unlike your last three situationships, this one is actually here to stay. Grab one, try it, and stop settling for mid-tier snacks. Actually, wait there before, a couple more, Michael, right?
Okay.
My son was serving mass recently and he blessed himself, added in the nod to heaven like footballers do. Hasselbank! I love it. Absolutely love it.
That's incredible.
Absolutely incredible. Halloween, about 10 years ago, the local parish priest, a legend, came on stage for mass wearing a sumo suit. Don't believe it. Don't believe it.
Not a hope. Very problematic.
Samhain was a pagan festival. Yeah, we know, by the way. We know. The most boring alternative friend that you have likes to make Samhain part of their personality. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Oh,
it's like stage one of moving into the spoofers wilderness is whenever you have a recent passion has been discovered for tattoos and all of a sudden you go, do you know what? Maybe I should make Halloween part of my personality. It's that time of the year. Oh, let's pretend to like that Sarah Jessica Parker movie than we really do. Oh, let's pretend to actually watch horror movies and not get really scaredy. Do you know what I mean? Such a niche subset of annoying alternative. It's, you know, the type of person though. Every year they really try and make like, oh, and did you know that Samhain? Yeah, I did. We all knew it. It's ancient news at this point. Good luck. Nevertheless. Back in the 90s, our local church used to get the local young fella. Firstly, the local young fella. Mm. Like, it's the only black or the gay in the village. It's the one young fella. There is one in every village in Ireland. There is a Polish person, there's a black person, there's a gay person, and there's a young fella. You know, the local young fella. Back in the 90s, our local church used to get the local young fella to be Jesus for Easter plays, and one year had him tied to a cross in the church, and all the grannies went up and kissed his feet. That is just, I said this to Darren last night and I was like, imagine that was me. I would have loved that growing up. But she was like, to say that not one person would have kissed those feet of yours. So,
oh my God, you go. Don't say that.
Just in case you thought my wife had a foot fetish, definitely not.
Nope.
Did they fully believe it was actual Jesus, or why would you kiss a random young fella's feet? To top it all off, he had white tips in his hair, image of Jesus. The white tips are irrelevant. It's the fact that he's the only local young fella. What's the point? Yeah. Is this some sort of like, did rural Ireland have this sort of like almost Chinese approach to each? In other way, Chinese families only allowed up two kids and no more than one girl. Irish towns in the 90s, there was only one local. Hey, there's only one young fella here. And that's Dermot. And if anybody else gives birth to a young local young fella. Guys, you're very welcome back to the Weekly Roast, live from Estepona in Spain. Estepona, there's no accent on there. Nevertheless, it's my favourite time of the week. It's great to be here. I miss you guys. I can't wait to get home. So many exciting things planned for the year. We have come so far. And as one listener said in her voice note, we have got quite the Looniverse here of all of us, just oddballs, normal people colliding with oddballs. It's perfection. So thank you so much for listening. If you're enjoying the show, you know what to do. Click follow or subscribe wherever you're listening to your podcast, whether it's Spotify, Apple Music. The episodes, you will be able to get them free of charge in your RSS feed every single week. We're doing like 4 episodes a week now, which is a lot of work, and we really appreciate your support. So just click follow wherever you get them. You will also then be updated about, sorry, that is the news that I have. The Secret Listener Party, we're back on with the Secret Listener Party.
Ah, brilliant. Exciting.
Yes, back on end of August, it's happening now. It's not going to interfere with the Electric Picnic or altogether now, but it's going to be at some stage at the end of August. I think whatever the end of August is, I need to fill out a way of getting everybody's emails. So who wants to go? Because we're only going to be able to get like 20 or 30 of you into the studio. So if you want to come to Dublin at the end of August, let me know. Maybe drop a comment under this app or send me a message on Instagram. And I'm going to try and figure out a way of getting your emails so we can figure this out, because we want to start doing ongoing listener parties. Anyway, that's all to come. Thank you so much for listening. As I said, just click follow or subscribe wherever you get your pods and you will be kept up to date on all of these exciting developments. Now, without any further ado, it's the roast of Incidents at Mass. Let's go, Michael. Or I mean, Miguel.
Hi, Mark. So, love the pod, as they say. So a mate of ours was an altar boy moons and moons and moons ago, and he was serving at Mass, and it got to the consecration bit or whatever it's called at Mass, you know, where they bless the bread and the wine. And he realised that he'd forgotten to bring the little set of bells out to the altar with him. So when it got to the bit and the priest looked over at him, rather than, he obviously wasn't able to ring the bell, so he shouted out, "A ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling, a ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling." And the priest just kind of glared at him, continued with the prayer or whatever, and my friend kind of was thinking, what do I do here? So got to the next bit, and he just did the same thing again, just goes, "A ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling." I swear to God, every time I think of it, you can see the poor 8 or 9 year old, whatever age I was, an older voice. The priest fuming, falling around the place laughing.
Absolutely unbelievable. Phenomenal.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
I respect the tenacity and the audacity of the child to actually persist with, I would never have the balls. No way. Nor would Eamon Fitzgerald, by the way. Just so that's clear.
Oh, poor Eamon.
Ish was my uncle's mum's mine, and he used to be in the army. And the priest in his local church was meant to be saying Mass, but he completely forgot about it because he was in the play in the local hall the same night. And they had to go search him for him, and they found him, and he came up in between the scenes of the play and rushed through Mass. And then he set back out to the play. The army chaplain went crazy saying he shouldn't be a fucking priest if he cares about being in plays.
Completely reasonable. support our troops, like, I mean,
support the arts.
Absolutely support the arts. The arts, what's it called? The Arts Ireland. What are they called?
Arts Council.
The Arts Council of Ireland selected my book to be handed around in the Irish prisons for culture.
Oh, yes, that was actually incredible.
Which is amazing. 17 people broke out of jail and one night after reading it. They're like, fuck this. I cannot be subjected to this posh drivel. If I have to endure one more page of this, I wish they put me in the chokey. I'm gone. Hey, Tim, where's Tim Robbins? Where's that spoon that you had from dinner? Start digging. Brilliant. So the actor Tim Robbins, not even the character in Shawshank. Nevertheless... No. This is not a self-help book. Responsible for 63 escapees from the Irish prison service. It was very tough to escape from the Irish prison service.
Still
climb over the wall. they just swapped places with the deal. Anyway, no. Nevertheless. I think that's completely justified by the army trooper. The lieutenant. I love the way, by the way, the only person that's offended, the person dealing with this, is the army sarge, not like his family. Do you know what I mean? The family are there like, oh, brilliant. Our dad is dead and we've got fucking the Artful Dodger coming in. Do you know what I mean? You've got to pick a pocket door. Sorry, my dad is dead. This is completely insane. Where is love? Does it fall from far above? That's Oliver. Oliver.
That was very good. Little falsetto there.
I was policeman number 17 in Oliver. bastards.
Were you?
I couldn't sing. I could act better than any other fuckers, the little pubis gimps that I was in competition with, but I couldn't sing. So Megan, I was bold in school and I couldn't sing, so I was always thrown in the back because I was tall. Bullshit. Yes,
I'm with you.
Oh, you can be the narrator. I don't want to be the narrator, Miss Bowden. I want to be the star of the show. Otherwise, it's going to send me down on a dodgy path of drinking that will ultimately lead to self-exploration. And finally, at the ripe old age of 35, I'll know what happiness feels like.
Don't blame them, Mark.
It's everybody else's fault but my own. Next.
Hey, Mark and Mystery Mick. I hope you're enjoying the break. My story is about one of my besties who was out on Christmas Eve a good few years ago now for a few drinks. You know, the usual catching up with her family and her friends, what the festive season is all about, really. She was looking deady, had a gorgeous new Christmas coat on her. Everyone was in great form, the pints were flying. They decided on the way home from the pub that they were going to go for a cheeky kebab before the upcoming turkey and ham indulgence started. Got the kebab. Got home, grabbed a few hours sleep before their mam had them all out the door for Mass on Christmas morning. When they got to Mass, she got herself a nice little seat in beside the radiator with the intention of very much just being there in body and letting Mass just wash over her. Mass started, priest was going through the service. She started to feel like she could smell a chipper. She put her hand in her pocket. Found the remnants of last night's kebab in her gorgeous Christmas coat pocket. In a matter of seconds, she could see people sniffing the air and looking around, wondering where the bang of garlic and chilli sauce was coming from. Not the usual gift, tamp and incense that just meant it must. Just want to say thanks for doing what you do, Mark. You've created a really hilarious...
You didn't cut it off there, did you?
I didn't cut it off, Mark.
Okay,
I didn't cut it off there,
okay,
Mark.
Okay, absolutely unbelievable.
That is wild.
Do you hear the guy last year, German guy, he set up like the world's most successful kebab fast food chain. He died of organ failure.
What?
They couldn't find a donor.
Ah, very good.
Oh sheesh.
Sheesh.
Kebab. So
yeah, I got it.
Arab things.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't work. No chance. Nevertheless, cooking a kebab in the back of the church is absolutely criminal. It's both. It's probably blasphemous. In some way, I'm sure there's somebody out there who would consider that to be blasphemous.
Of course, it's blasphemous. But absolutely.
A couple of things. Firstly, there is no coat like the Christmas coat. The brand new Christmas coat is on the hierarchy of coats, okay? You've got fresh coat, if your house has been painted, up there. It's got to be number one.
Oh, yep. Interesting. Nice angle.
Then you've got sort of sugar-coated, if you're getting bad news from a doctor, number two, definitely. You know, sugar-coated, please, doc. Tell me that the arthritis is curable, okay? And then number three, coming in, romping in at number three, we've got the Christmas coat.
We do. We do.
It disguises all the lumps and bumps. It's nice and chic. You feel Parisian. You get to grade for a few Christmas pints and then you wake up and there's a kebab in your pocket. I am more than familiar with waking up with ludicrous kebabs, and that's not a Jay Goody gag with ludicrous kebabs. It's not.
No. I do.
I think the moment that I knew the world was fully cooked was whenever, God love her and may she rest in peace, was Jade Goody receiving her diagnosis on reality TV. That for me was like, oh God, we've gone, like sort of like the Britney Spears, like that we've gone not even full circle, but we've gone somewhere darker into unprecedented levels of, I don't know what. But
it's like post-celebrity nearly.
Yeah, morbidity, wherein we're watching a woman who has, you know, been sort of chewed up and spat out and then flung herself back into the celebrity sort of maelstrom over and over again, to the extent that has probably like deconstructed her own sense of reason, that she is sitting here in a doctor's office receiving life-changing news around an illness, and it's been put out on Channel 4 on Thursday at 8 p.m. Like, it was
absolutely horrific.
Yeah, absolutely horrific. But where was I? Speaking of horrific, moments.
Transitions.
You're one of the back of the church smelling like curry. Curry ass. Comedy. Brilliant. Also, incense. Can we just have a moment of reality here? Would the lads in the Vatican not have a word with like Yves Saint Laurent or a Hugo Boss or something? Because the smell of incense is fucking gross. It's disgusting. It reminds me of
they need
of
a rebrand,
like,
do you?
They do need it. They need to get some creative consultant in there like Megan and actually do a rebrand. Because the thing is, nobody likes the smell of incense. It just reminds you of going into one of those sloppy, like, piercing shops that sort of also functions as a sex toy shop and doesn't have a door, just lines of beads. That's when you know you're going into Slopville. When the shop doesn't have a door, it's like, oh, come on in, and you just have to swash yourself through these beads and the smell of incense rushes up your nostrils like chlorophyll. That's when you're in pervert territory. So I feel like there'd be a lot to be said for a little Le Homme by Yves Saint Laurent or something like that. Just a little light floral fragrance to run its way through the congregation. So we've done Jade Goody, curry kebab, asses in the back of church, and creative consultancy for the Vatican. I think that's enough for that voice note. On y va.
So a few years ago, my mother was running a raffle at a local field day. It was taking place just after Mass. And local parish priest came up and said, oh, how much are the tickets? To which my mother responded, it's €1 for one ticket or a full strip for a fiver. And the priest turned around and said to her, would you strip for a fiver? So, yeah, a bit of a weird one.
Bit of a just wildly sexual harassment one, really, isn't it?
Overt sexual harassment.
Oh, sorry. Sorry if my joke fell and didn't land very well. With the sexual harassment, is that what you're referring to? Oh, sorry, I've a funny sense of humor, a sexual one. You have a sexually harassing sense of humor. That's the humor that you possess. In fact, I would dare say that you don't have a sense of humor. You have a sense of entitlement over the bodies of your parishioners. And you're hiding under the cloak of comedy to mask the deeper sexual derangement beneath those robes and garms, you dirty bastard. Oh. Do you smell that? No, it's not the kebab I had last night. No, it's not the incense. It's the smell of justice because the comeback of the century is happening. No, I just have lost it. The Spanish coffee is too sweet. It's gone straight into the frontal lobe. You may as well be forming a caffeine-induced lobotomy on oneself because I'm beginning to lose all sense. Complete pervert. Hilarious. Would you strip for a fiver? No, I wouldn't. Here's one for you.
Go on.
Would you post a nude? Would you post a nude for $5,000?
I mean, I effectively post semi-nudes on a weekly basis. So $5,000.
Yeah, but yeah. I'm talking about the penis, Michael.
No, of course not. I absolutely.
A grand per inch. That's not bad for your, you know what I mean? If you're getting a G per inch, that is not bad, mate. Obviously, you'd have to be turned on, but like. that should be our next fun for the listeners.
Oh. What, penis enlargement?
So, Mark, as we left the crematorium at my dad's funeral, a couple of years ago, we were just approaching the doors. We were kind of some of the last to leave, and probably to none of our surprises, we heard my nephew get on the mic. I would do it no justice if I tried to actually sound like he did on the day, and he shouted, "Can I get a hell yeah?" But it was in a very high-pitched, I think it's copying off one of these YouTube things, but a very high-pitched tone that almost sounded similar to probably some sort of sex noise or groan. So I'd say we all just pissed ourselves laughing, and we weren't surprised at who it is, and we also weren't surprised when he got his ADHD diagnosis this year.
Okay, they'll be able to go with the ADHD people like myself. So. Just because we have ADHD doesn't mean we're all. That's absolutely hilarious.
Wild. Love it.
Can you do
absolutely
the noise?
Love it. Can I get a, oh, yeah.
What is it, though? Where did that come from?
I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea, but I have heard it far too much. Like, as soon as she said it, I knew exactly what he did.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those TikTok things that your generation seemed to find hilarious. Can I get a hiya? It sounds sort of Asian.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
In a problematic way. Anyway, hilarious. I think kids doing things that they don't realize is bad is the sweet spot of humor and innocence that I will always indulge in and enjoy, no matter how seemingly offensive. Like, somebody messaged me last night, was like, you're an absolute disgrace for sharing that message about the kid in the church saying, "Mommy, why did my willy go hard?" It's funny. It's innocent. It's completely just juvenile, youthful crack. Will you just grow up?
Completely. Yeah, completely. And half people, half the time, kids have some sort of idea, you know, like they're kind of pushing the line themselves. Like, it's all a bit of like, there's no badness intended there.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think he was going for the George fucking Carlin approach. Like, oh, he's doing his real Stuart Lee bit about having a hard cock in the back. Come on, mate. Let's not apply too much intelligence to this gag. It was mere.
This is classic Norm stuff, right?
Yeah,
here.
Yeah. Come on. Like, oh no, he went for the real meta approach. He didn't, man. It's just a gag. Let's not overlook into this. Somebody messaged me yesterday. I put up a picture of the balcony in Spain, right, looking out over the background. And a woman messaged me last night and was like, what did she say again? She goes, let me just see one sec. She goes, haven't seen balcony before on your or D's stories. Did you get planning as strict in Castleknock?
Oh my God.
Are you joking me? Like,
oh my God, get a life.
Like, the reality, there's so much to discuss with that. Firstly, like, the sort of confines of her ignorance are not even bound by the sort of just the limitations of her geographical awareness. Do you know what I mean? In terms of, firstly, yes, okay, the fact that she could mistake a literal vineyard in Spain with, you know, next to having like I don't know what, fucking Torres swinging from one of the trees, slugging a vase of, or slugging from a jug of sangria. Do you know what I mean? With literally that woman with the red dancing emoji swatting around. Like, it couldn't have been more of a Spanish vista if you tried. Javier Bardem may as well have been swanning through in the bollock naked, you know, or bollockless if he's a friend of Eamon's. Like, it was the most Spanish looking vista in the world. However, ignoring all of that, it's the fact that the insidious nature of her brain and dysfunction is so much more, you know, bananas than, as I say, her sort of geographical ignorance. It's the fact that she is following somebody going, hold on a second now, I haven't noticed that before and their stories. That's a new thing. And let's just see now, I'm going to have a word and see if there's planning. Imagine your brain working like that.
It's insane, man. It's so insane and so sad.
That's the game, though, baby. Ever since I've started running, I've been running again, receiving so much hate.
What?
Oh, yeah, just from accounts that don't follow me, sending me messages going, why don't you roast people who post their runs? State of you posting your runs. Cool. I don't care. I have arthritis and it's the first time I've ran in, what, 2.5 years. I'm going to enjoy this win. And nothing that I could do would be as embarrassing as being bothered by strangers who you don't follow or engage with and them enjoying their life. Like, that's the legacy that you leave for your children, if you have them, your loved ones. That's the type of person you are. God love you, like, genuinely, God love you. And
if you spend your time giving people stick on Instagram or checking planning permission, you need to get out and touch grass.
But they won't, because it's everybody else's fault and it's the world's fault. Why, you know, it's other people's success and happiness is a reason for their own shortcomings rather than accepting the truth of their own insignificance. Nevertheless, on y va.
Sorry, my mama was a primary skills teacher in Dublin in the 80s. And she worked in a school in Ballymun, and she always tells this story to us. And I cry laughing every time. So basically they returned the nativity play and they did it in the church at the time. So all the parents, you know, come to the church and to the nativity play. And one of the kids in the class who is kind of, you know, more challenging, you know, as we would have said back then, like one of the bold kids, she thought that it'd be a good idea to give him the part of Joseph as, you know, to try and like give him something positive to do. Anyways, between whatever happened when he got the part and the play, they ended up taking the part off him and giving it to somebody else, and they made him an innkeeper instead. And they actually thought that he'd taken this quite well. Like, they were like, God, he was actually saying, no, yeah, no, that's fine, I don't mind, I'll be the innkeeper. So, you know, she was like, okay, that went okay. So they obviously gave the part to Joseph, to another kid. So the day of the nativity, they're all up on the altar doing, you know, their bits and pieces. And he was Joseph and Mary knocked on his door, and he was supposed to say, sorry, no room at the inn, and they were going to go to the next one. So he opens the door, they knocked on the door and they said, any room here? And he said, well, Mary can come in, but you can fuck off.
Damn right. Joseph just can't catch a break in Christianity, though. God love him.
No, he can't. He got a raw deal of it.
He got the rawest deal in the history of deals. Think about it.
Go on.
So you've just done a false course. You've gotten your carpentry thing, right? You're smashing.
Right, okay.
You've got cash in hand. You're making some good money. You're young. You're able to go out in the piss around Bethlehem, or no, rather Nazareth, okay? All is going well. You've got a few euro in the back, or not euro, sorry, stones or whatever they traded in back in the day. You've got a few nettles. Do you know what I mean? You've got a few conkers.
You've got some myrrh.
You've got six acorns and a goat sneeze. So and you're heading out for a few pints of fucking cow placenta over Friday.
Stop.
Okay, no, but you know what I mean. You've got Afghan foreskin in the back of your pocket, and you're using that to trade. You're heading out for the weekend. You're in downtown local Nazareth. You're on the strip. You know, all is going well. You're like, this is great. Life is good. You met this girl called Mary. You're like, wagwan, Mary, what's the crack? And she's like, yo, what's the story? How are you getting on? Did I see you down at that River Styx party last year? Yeah, you did. Yeah, what's the crack? Yeah, I saw you there. Anyway, are you doing that Pilates? Are you doing the Pontius Pilates class this weekend? Yeah, I am actually. Yeah, just started intermittent fasting. How long is it going? 40 days. Brilliant. Anyway, so you meet this girl, Mary. You're like, she seems like a nice enough lady. She's very innocent. You know, you're thinking, what's the crack? Do you want to maybe get married? Absolutely. Grand. And then you go, do you fancy consummating the marriage? Mary's like, no, I feel like I should wait. Why is that? Mm. Oh, basically, do you ever meet my mate Gabriel? No. Do you remember? Oh, I think you were playing Xbox that night. This lad came in the window one night and he was telling me that actually God, do you know God? No, I'm a carpenter. I live a life. I work hard. I like to enjoy my few pints of Afghan foreskin piss on the weekend. Like, I don't, is this a spiritual stuff? Because last year was Halloween. So this year, I don't really understand the... I could go on like that forever.
What the fuck is going on?
Do you know what I mean, though? Poor Joseph got an absolute howler. Like, surely he should have been paid off or something at least. Give him something. Oh, like, was he made a saint?
I think he was.
I think he was like the patron saint of Cork or something. Do you know?
Patron saint of being a little bitch.
No, that's not funny. That's blasphemous. Sorry. I was being funny.
Sorry.
So they made him make the cook chair. That was the most degrading thing. They actually made him, as a carpenter, you have to make your own cook chair to watch your wife not getting ridden. So there you go. Aniva?
Yeah, please.
Hi, Mark and Mick. So I was at a funeral. Let's call her Mary. And the priest said, we will all see Mary again one day. Followed by, hopefully not here on land, as she will be a ghost, and that would be scary. And we would all go, ah!
That's absolutely hilarious. That is genuinely the funniest thing in the world.
Yeah.
But hopefully not, yeah. Genuinely, like, true and mental. completely mental for a priest to say that at somebody's funeral. Like,
I'm also pretty sure not in keeping with like the Catholic faith.
Why? In terms like, of,
because we don't really, Catholicism doesn't really joke about what's the poltergeist like.
Well, we don't really, it's not really a laugh a minute, the Bible generally, mate, is it?
Okay, you know, yeah.
It's not a sort of classic sort of page-turning lala moment. Like, but at the same time, I don't know what it says in relation to the afterlife and spirits and poltergeists. Because obviously, see, that's why it's a bit of a grey area then, isn't it? Because there's lots of like, would you have said the Holy Ghost growing up or the Holy Spirit?
Holy Spirit, I think.
I would have said the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry. In that context, yes. But I feel like in religion class and all that good stuff, we would have been talking about the Holy Spirit.
When you and your buds were just cracking open a few pints of holy water and having chats about the Holy Spirit, you are the most performative male since Jacob Elordi bought himself a new purse. That lad is just seriously gets under my fucking. He's at the point now where he's just wheeling, hanging, holding suitcases under his arm. The bags are getting bigger. Do you know what I mean? It's so embarrassing, Jacob Elordi. It's like, just because this is one of those things. Some people are so good looking they get away with genuine murder.
Yeah.
Like, what do I get away with?
I don't know what you want me. There's no right answer here.
I might be to tell me that I'm okay. This is it. We need to. I'm nearly done now. I'm nearly done. I'm reaching that stage.
You've hit us. Yeah, one more.
I feel like once I went off script with the Mary and Joseph bit, we lost all sense of reason. So where are we now?
We
got one more, do we?
We got one more. It's a good one. Let's go.
I'm applying sun cream as we speak.
Lovely.
Let's go.
So at my granddad's funeral, my uncle was paying his respects while linking my grandmother, mourning my granddad, and his pants fell down. And as you can imagine, the whole place erupted. He quickly, one-handedly pulled up his pants. He had these keys, so the keychain that kind of links onto your pants and in, I don't know why, a million keys hanging off it. Obviously the weight of them tracked his pants down. Pulled the next funeral, well, 2 weeks later, and he was carrying the coffin. And the running joke was to make sure he was wearing a belt. Very sad day, but that made it up.
Yeah, I feel like of all the things that you don't want to happen at a funeral, is your probably in most sort of public environments or arenas, is your trousers falling down to your ankles.
Self-jocking. It's not great.
Worst place to ever get jocked.
Oh, God. I got jocked at a school assembly in front of, like, honestly, about 500 kids. And it was one of those moments, somehow every single person in the room saw it.
Oh, my God.
It was the worst. It was the worst.
That actually, that probably contributed to your, like, alcoholism and fundamental issues.
That was the start of it.
That was 500 people standing around jeering, going, look at how small that lad's knob is.
No. No.
It's like a literal it's like a literal what's it. It's like a pale what's it. Just this little nub.
You weren't there. You did that.
I can imagine that. I can imagine. The worst place, if you ever want to jock somebody, now, by the way, this is not me condoning or encouraging jocking at all. I think it's a prehistoric, embarrassing behavior by jocks. But I went to one of those schools and I was surrounded by and embodied that culture for quite a long time. So hear me out.
Mm.
Just as somebody's gotten their food in McDonald's.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It was Irish college. And
we
used to do these Irish college reunions. Okay. There was a girl from Tanya up from Tipperary. Best looking girl in school in the Irish college.
Yeah.
We were all there. There was a guy, I think his name was Shane. He was mad about her. I was also mad about her. And Shane was going to turn back to see her. And one of the lads said, Donna, I think his name was, incidentally, also from Tip, up Tip. Donna was like the sort of archetype of like, you know, the way every Irish college, there was like one ridiculously extraordinarily rugged and good looking rural Irish lad. Like, he looks like fucking, you know, Michael Fassbender or something. He didn't give a damn about SPF. Do you know what I mean?
He was above it all. He was above it all.
He didn't need any of that. We'd be there with our well manicured little hair and our Brill cream and our bleached blonde hair. He didn't give a shit. Do you think I should get my hair dyed blonde this summer for the crack? Or is that mental, by the way?
You?
Yeah. Is that just an insane...
No, you can't do that, Mark.
I think I might do it. Just even get the tips done.
Don't get the tips done. If you're going to do it fully. Don't do the tips.
Okay,
don't
if more than tips. 10 people message me saying get the tips done, I'm going to get the tips done on holidays. There you go. That's a quest for the listeners. If more than 10 people comment under this episode saying get the tips done, I will get the tips done on Spotify.
Oh, right. God. No.
But you know, there's always one good-looking guy called Donna or something like that. Mm. But anyway, yeah, your man Shane turns around. He's holding the tray. Bang. Bish, bash, bosh. Jock.
Oh, no.
And slowly but surely, the willy just starts like stiff. No, I can't. It's over. It's over. We've reached the point. It's over.
There's no comeback of the century.
I need to. This was the comeback of the century. You know, Hitler was very good at art. It's irrelevant. Oh, brilliant. Idi Amin has learned how to do the worm and is planting it all over TikTok. He's killed thousands of people. It's not the comeback of the century. One doesn't cancel out the other. Do you know what I mean? Oh, did you know he learned? It's like one of the Irish criminals. Yeah, but he learned Spanish in prison. I don't give a fuck. I don't care that he can go, es que se señora, donde está el museo? Just, he's involved in organized crime. Do you know what I mean? This doesn't negate. That's not how this works.
No.
It's like me literally going for a run yesterday morning and then as a result having three of those Maxi Bon ice creams in a row. You can't do that, Mark. This is why you have tits.
Jesus Christ. Anyway, we'll leave it there.
Thank you so much for listening to El Spanish Weekly Roast. Guys, it's a pleasure. Favorite time of the week. No matter where and when I am in the world, it is talking to you. Thank you so much for listening. If you have any ideas for the show in the future, let us know. Mind yourselves. I hope you're well, and we'll see you very soon. Good luck.